This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450, and we have a guest in the studio, Mary Rothschafer, with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And she, of course, is the lady from the Critter Barn.
Critter Barn, there you go. Good to be with you, Juke.
Holland's answer to Dr. Seuss.
We have a good time out there.
Yes, yes. Well, you got a lot going on every day, don't you?
We do. It's a busy place. It really is. Every day, the parking lot is jammed. We're parking people on Adams Street.
Really?
Yes. And so it's a nice problem to have, but I'd rather have a little bit more parking space. But a lot of folks just coming generally to visit the farm, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have classes. We've had a lot of students in classes this summer, I think. To date, over 600 children this summer who have taken classes at the Critter Barn.
What kind of classes do you have?
We have a class for little farmers, which is for preschool children, and an introduction to mm-hmm. some of the animals at the farm. We have a class called Animal Adventures, which is two and a half hour segments. The kids come back to back on a Monday and Tuesday morning or afternoon, and they just explore and have fun with the animals. It's not purpose that they go out and do feeding chores. It's to just I don't want to use the word just play with the animals because they learn about them too, but it's very interactive, and it just whatever an animal is good at, you know, whatever their best features are. I mean, they'll milk a goat, they'll collect the eggs, but they just kind of go like butterflies around the farm. They get a donkey ride. The kids just love it. In fact, this morning I had a woman that called, and she said, my daughter was at this little camp for kids the last 2 days. I says, oh, Animal Adventures? And she says, that's it. And she said she's had such a good time. And she's scheduled to go somewhere else this morning, and I won't say where, but she goes, oh, Mom, I don't want to go to the other place. I want to go back to the Critter Barn. She says, what else can I do? Do you have that class again next week? I says, yes, we actually added another class next week. There's two groups. You'll have to check online. I don't honestly know if there's spaces open. But our classes were full, so we opened them up. I'm going to book her for both the morning and afternoon class. She said she can just spend both days at the farm. I says, whoa, I guess she really liked it. Yep, she said she wants to move there now.
Really?
So, you know, you get reactions like that. It's fun. But that's for children age 5 to 8. And then for children who are a little bit older, who just want a farm experience, we introduced an Adventures in Farming class this year. And yesterday I had 13 children there for an hour and a half in the evening who were just interested in rabbits. And we spent the whole hour and a half about rabbit care, rabbit handling, some medical treatments that are good maintenance protocols. Just looked at the baby bunnies, learned a little bit about how that mammal works and feeds her babies and supports her young. And that was just a blessing. And they're kids from age 5 to age 12. And the animal spans all those ages, which is just fun.
Yeah.
And then there's a class for the more serious children. The adventures class. We have a goat class. Like tonight, there's a goat class. A single focus. So there's been a sheep class, a few others. Chickens and eggs, things like that. But then there's a class where children are more serious to come and help at the farm. So to train them and acquaint them with the entire facility and prepare them if they choose to come back and volunteer, we have a class called Critter Camp. And that's a 3-day class. It's a little bit more pricey. It's $80. And the kids spend 3 5.5-hour segments with a teacher. And they do all the chores, learn about safety protocols, learn about the animals. And then a lot of them, Juke, like over 75%, come back to volunteer at least 3 or 4 times. And some of the kids come back to volunteer, and, I mean, it becomes their passion in life. They are there every week.
Mm.
And some of them now for years. And that's been quite a blessing because they help us run the farm, but then they, in turn, share what they know with others. So now you're growing confidence. You're growing, you know, all this kind of leadership skills that are going to help those kids as they go forward in their own lives. So, and we've been doing that class now for 15, 16 years. So we've seen kids from that class go on, get married, have their children, go to college. And there's quite a few that have gone into jobs related to children, education, and also agriculture.
Mm.
So very fun to watch how that impacts lives for a longer period of time. And then you have the folks that have taken the class almost daily. If I'm out and about, I'll run into someone who came to the farm before, has memories they wish to share. Mm-hmm. So I know it's impacting and inspiring people, which is wonderful.
You wonder how many will buy a farm.
You know, several, a lady surprised me. She says to me in June, Kate's not going to be at the farm a lot this summer. And she made her list of weddings and trips and special things that were going to interrupt their summer. So unlike other years, Kate wasn't going to be around to volunteer. But then I got an email in the midst of knowing I wasn't going to see Kate all summer that Kate wants to raise some goats at home. And it's happened. She's got two. She's going to get a third one. One of them is from our farm. And here's a kid who just loves it so much. Now she's got a little place at home. And I've seen families actually move to a more rural setting. I've seen complete life changes. And I'm sure that their experiences at the Critter Barn with their children impacted their decision rather than going to an urban setting. I could name five or six families right now that I know over the last 12, 15 years have actually made that change. And as their family moved through life, they made a change to go to a rural setting. That kind of fun stuff, isn't it?
Nothing like growing up on a farm.
I
don't know. I really think the kids that don't get that farm experience miss a lot.
They sure do. And when you think back in society for centuries, how people lived that more simple lifestyle.
Yeah.
Our century that we're living in now is more unique from all of those in the past. And for better or for worse, I mean, farm life, sustaining yourself, we could go to many pockets of the world right now and see people that are struggling to have food each day. We know that some of that is hard. But I remember the words of Joan Quartering, retired farmer, lives alone now in Holland, and she was talking about how tight her family was, how they all worked together. There's a lot of good feeling that came from those years. So maybe it was a bit more challenging and certainly a lot of hard work, but the family values. So when I gave her the chance to, you know, speak on a tape recording, and I like to do that, record farmer stories mm-hmm. from people. And that was her thing. I didn't know if I was going to get a story about raising cows or raising this or that or the year that they had a drought. I didn't know what the story was. But her main story, her main memory was that closeness of family. So I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah.
I've not forgotten that. And I think that the kids that volunteer at the farm that come back and the kids that have been there now for a while, some of them actually now holding some of our paid staff positions. We're kind of growing our own little culture there. The Critter Barn has been their family farm experience. And the friendships there, that's it. Now, it may not look like a mom and a dad and a bunch of kids, but our team, our group of kids, I mean, that little farm has become their family farm experience. Mm-hmm. So a lot of interesting spin-offs.
Well, I have some memories of getting up milking the cows. I had milked 3 cows in the morning and 3 cows at night. And, of course, did that summer and winter. And then have to go to school afterward, of course. And I enjoyed that. I really did. And I still remember the names of the cows that I milked.
And what were the names of those cows,
one
Duke?
One of my favorites was Lockshore Noble Blossom. And she gave a lot of milk, and she was a beautiful Guernsey.
This was. And what were the names of the other two? Do you
another
remember?
One was Buttercup.
Okay.
Chancellor's Buttercup. And another one was, well, she wasn't registered, so she didn't really have a name.
Oh, but you knew her.
Yeah. I got real familiar with her.
And isn't that great? I mean, you're no spring chicken. Everybody knows that those memories are from many, many years back. Long time ago. I try to say that respectfully, but how wonderful. And look at how that impacted you. You still remember those crazy cows that you used to milk, and you know them by name. People will say that to me. You have names for all these animals? And it's like, yeah. But, you know, when they come one at a time, it's just like a new child. You don't forget them.
So. Well, I was talking to some of the people that are in the races, you know, and they have to have a new name every time they put a horse in a race. They have to have a name for that horse.
Sure.
And they go to crazy ends to find a name for that horse.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then they remember,
They remember.
And people marvel. I can remember when we first started the Critter Barn, and I would go to other people as mentors and listen to them as they would talk about how this goat was out of that doe, and they knew the family genealogy, and they would sit there with all these names of their animals, or if they didn't have names, they had a number on a tag in their ear, and they would say, well, this one is out of her, and this is her daughter, and this was a champion too, years ago when I was showing, and then this one is a proven doe out of that, and I'm listening to this detail, and I can remember just marveling, how do they remember all that? Well, you raised them. They're like your extended family.
And, yeah, they are.
And now I'm doing that myself, and we remember not only the animals that are in the barn, but we even talk with good memories, like you just did, about the animals that used to be in the barn.
Right.
And it's just there. It's just very vivid in your mind.
My last experience with an animal really was my uncle drove in the yard one time with his truck and said, I brought a goat for your kids to play with. And this was a goat that had recently freshened, so I had to milk the goat. That was my final experience with an animal.
Well, if you need a goat to milk, we have a few out at the farm. So because of the size and safety and the way we're set up, we just milk goats. But the kids know. And another class that we've offered just this summer, and 6 children have completed it, is called a crew leadership class. And that's sort of mimicking the FFA program. And Tony McCall, who is vice president of our board of directors, is the intermediate school district's Career Line Tech's ag science teacher. And he has an FFA chapter there.
Oh, yes.
Those kids have been out to our farm. They use our farm as a farm laboratory to see the animals, engage with them, and see some of the protocols demonstrated that we do for health maintenance and so on. Anyway, Tony helped us launch this class. So that finishes my story about classes. We got a little sidetrack there, but so we have quite a few classes actually that we offer now, and it's grown over the years, Duke. Last time I was visiting, I think we've added a few. So,
all right, we're going to take time out here for a good word, and then we'll be right back with our guest. By the way, if you have a question you'd like to ask Mary this morning, give us a call, 395-1450.
Sentry Rest latex mattresses and our revolutionary gel mattresses. And remember, handcrafting our mattresses right here in West Michigan means higher quality products at a lower price. Jonathan Stevens, a better night's sleep.
Paul's Pharmacy is the postal substation on the south side of Holland. They accept packages and they sell stamps for the same prices as the post office. Paul's Pharmacy on Lincoln, just south of 32nd Street on Holland's south side. We're here with Mary Rotschafer this morning, and we're talking about the Critter Barn, and if you have questions, you may call us, 395-1450. Maybe we don't have any farmers out there this morning, I don't know, but a lot of people have been raised on the farm, I know. So, yes, we do have a caller here, so let's take that call. Good morning, you're online with our guest.
Yes, I hope Mary knows the answer to this, but does goat's milk have to be pasteurized or not?
For who? For yourself?
Well, can you sell unpasteurized goat's milk so the enzymes are still left in there, or do you have to have it pasteurized?
The rules of the road in our country, in the United States, are a bit strict, and technically it is not legal to sell unpasteurized milk in our country. So the way that we get around that is for people to buy shares in the animal so that you become a part owner of the animal. And if you're interested in drinking fresh goat milk, which I raise my 3 children on goat's milk, and they'll all tell you stories about that, but because they were so unique, from other children, sometimes that, uniqueness, they want to be like everybody else. But I know that then John Windemuller in Hudsonville, and I'm just struggling right now for the name. I just looked at it yesterday. I don't know if it's Windcrest Farms, but if you Google Windemuller, Hudsonville, and goats, you'll come up with their farm. They sell, I believe I'm accurate in saying they sell the shares of the goats. So you become part of the goat owner. So then you can kind of get around the legal system. There's nothing wrong with unpasteurized milk as long as it's handled in a you know, extremely clean and appropriate manner. And I think there's many farmers who drink the fresh milk, and all of us are still living. I mean, I have three kids. They're all still alive, doing very well. So,
and
you know.
Can they also sell a share of a cow then, too, for the same purpose or no?
You can check with, in Coopersville, check with the Grassfields Farms.
Oh, okay.
And that's the Meerman Brothers.
Okay.
And but Grass,
Coopersville, Grassfields
Farms.
Okay.
And they sell fresh milk, and they have, again, a system in place that makes it appropriate. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
I don't think you save a lot of money this way, do you, actually?
Actually, I think it's going to cost more. But, you know, that's an interesting dynamic. We love to go to the grocery store and buy things that are on sale,
right?
And United States spends less on its food than any other country in the world. We have cheap food supply.
Mm-hmm.
And if you raise it, if you have a smaller farm, like the Meermans, they have overhead. It doesn't go to a lot of middle people. It goes to raise that farm.
Like the Meermans.
But
we have someone on the line here.
Sure.
Shall we take that question? Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning, Mary. I tuned in late, so maybe you covered this. Did Mr. Chops, the potbelly pig, make his way into the Guinness Book of World Records?
He is on his way into the Guinness Book.
Okay. I knew the date was July 20-something that he had to live past. I didn't know if he made it or not. Well, that's wonderful.
I received an email. This is before I even made contact with Guinness World Records Limited, but I received an email from Jenny Langridge from Guinness World Records on July 17, and she said, "It has come to my attention that in 2 days' time, your potbelly pig, Mr. Chops, will become eligible for the Guinness World Record of the oldest pig ever."
She must have read one of the news releases or seen you in the Hudsonville Advance or something like that. Huh?
I guess it's gone to more places than I'm even aware of. But we have 17 pages of homework to do for Guinness World Records. And
oh, my goodness.
Well, and I've had, but we have to get people in the industry, in the hog industry, to verify his age.
Oh.
So we've been going back with medical records from veterinarians who are signing off on this. And it's great. And then also, you're probably not on our newsletter mailing list, but it will be up on our website soon. And it is in our newest Critter Connections newsletter, which I believe went into the mail yesterday. We have a photograph from the breeder. From Gordon Poost, who actually had Penelope, Mr. Chops' mother. And we have a picture of the corner of his barn with Penelope and the other litter of piglets that she had. And standing right in front of the mother, the sow, is Mr. Chops. And I know that for certain because Mr. Chops was the only piglet in the litter that was marked like his mother. Penelope had front white legs and this white band over her shoulder. And so when you look at the photograph, you just go, oh, my gosh, is that a picture of Mr. Chops?
You know.
But it's not. It's his mother.
And
then the little piggy, Mr. Chops, is right in front of him. In fact, I'm handing the picture to Juke as we speak. I wish you could all see it right down there in the corner.
Remarkable.
So we have a picture of our baby. And because of the type of farm we've had, we've got pictures all along. And so it's not going to be hard to prove it. And I'm hoping next week to get this all mailed into England. And then it will become official. And in... I don't know. They say 6 weeks, 8 weeks. We're not sure. The initial responses and communications with Guinness have gone much quicker than what they said they would. And I think because they approached us, then, you know, maybe it's going a little
faster.
I don't know.
Sure.
But how exciting. I mean, this is a world record.
Yeah. I have some pictures of you working with him when I brought my kindergarten class from probably the 80s. So I have those saved out. I intend to drop them off at the farm one day.
Okay. Well, it would be early 90s. That's,
was that when
yeah.
he was there?
And for you or anyone else who has pictures early on like that, that would include the farm early on or include Mr. Chops, we covet those old photographs.
Okay. All
that
right.
would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for the information, and I'm happy for you. And hopefully some of your volunteers can help you with the paperwork. That would be a huge blessing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
And time out for a weather word here. The weather word is brought to you today by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Come in for lunch and pick a pair. And today we can expect mostly clear weather with a low of 55, and tomorrow more sun than clouds with a high of 77, and Friday a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 79. Right now it is 61 degrees and the lake temperature 68. The green flag is flying, and we got another call here. Good morning. You're on line with Mary.
Hello. I believe that I saw the on like Fox News Network and those stations.
That's correct.
Something about Mr. Chops.
Yes. They were at the farm. Both WZZM and Fox were at the farm and took footage, and then they sell or move those little pieces to other networks and so on up the food chain. And I understand it was even aired on Good Morning America.
Yeah, it was.
Exciting.
I saw that episode of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very
so,
good.
Boy, he's quite a movie star.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Well, Mary, we've got something here we got to talk about in a minute here.
Okay? We sure do. About said Red. I'm so used to sitting over here and talking to Red. But, Duke, you've got it in your hand. You want to talk about it or shall
I? The Critter Barn's 2013 Family Roundup at the Drent Grove, and that's coming up on the 20th, which is pretty quick.
Next Tuesday.
6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and it's free food. Horse-drawn hay rides, Critter Barn animals, fun and games, and bluegrass band. My goodness, you got a lot going on there.
It is a hoedown party, I'll tell you. We did it last year. It was a smashing success. We learned, you know, from doing a big party. Of course, we had no idea so many people were going to come. We had over 900 people.
Really?
So it's a good thing we were at the Drent Grove, because the Critter Barn can't hold that many people at one time. So before I go any further, if you come to the party next Tuesday, it's at the Drent Grove, not at the Critter Barn. Make that real clear.
How do you arrange the free food?
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got some good donors. There's some donors that have donated ice cream, because this year we are celebrating the Year of the Cow, both beef and dairy. And each year we pick an animal to kind of feature. And then when we do our fundraisers or our events, we try to enhance the display, teach a little bit about that species, and feature that industry or that farming niche. This year we have a generous donor who is, the paddle pop sticks, whatever little ice cream treats you can get, has done a lot to donate those. I think we're still going to charge a nominal fee. I was hearing that from the committee, just $1 for every little ice cream treat. But the rest has been donated to make that price point available. But then another donor has given all the hamburg buns, and we've gotten a partial donation on the meat. Earl's Meats is supporting us for this event and has been very generous, very gracious. And I would just like to say thank you publicly to Earl's Meats for what they're doing to help us make this possible. So there's some cost. This is supported by the Critter Barn Board of Directors. We just feel it's important, really important, to build friendships in our community, to serve our community, to have an opportunity that everybody who wants to come can come. And if people can donate, they'll have an opportunity to donate at the event. Some are donating as they sign up, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But when the day is done, I think we're going to be okay.
All right.
And I'm very excited to be able to offer this. And the horse-drawn rides are a hoot. John Shinborn, gracious, gracious person. He's donating his time.
Really?
He's bringing horses from north of Ravenna, Juke.
Hmm.
And his covered wagon, the kids, they just had a ball last year. And he takes a big ride. And his team of horses is just stunning, just beautiful. And, of course, our animals will be there. No little stuff. We're not bringing bunnies or we're just bringing goats and sheep and of course, cows. We got to have cows because it's the year of the cow. So we're going to have our cows there. There's a little mystery guest. She's going to be there, too. somebody's moving in for the evening, and we've got a lot of fun things planned. And then there's games. The committee had some games last year. We've kind of tweaked that a little bit, cut some, increased others. I know they've got a lot of fun things planned in the game area for kids of quite a variety of ages, a dunk tank. The dunk tank becomes more of a personal experience,
yes,
because there are staff people on our farm who've been working with kids all summer long, and there are certain children at our farm who want to throw that ball and dunk a staff person.
Yeah.
So, you know, if John Q. Public shows up and they want to dunk one of our staff people, that's totally fine. But I know that there are some kids. It is their agenda. They are coming to make sure Greg or Mr.
Dunk
Brad
somebody.
Goes, yeah, they got to go down in the dunk tank. So, and we've got our MSU interns, some people that have been helping at the farm. And I know they're all targeted. They want them to sit in that dunk tank, and that's just good old fun.
Yeah.
Steve Weidman's Bluegrass Band, talented group. I know there's so many groups we could invite out. But he's been with our fundraising events now for several years. Steve has gotten to know our organization, and they've got the banjo and the whole bit, and they're just great. And,
got one more call here.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest.
Good morning. You were talking about Mr. Chaps, but I didn't hear anything about his age.
He's 21 years on June 18.
Oh, my.
The world record was 21 years and 30 days, and that was held by Oscar, a pig that passed away in 1989 in Texas. And that was the most recent world record. So we passed that on July 19.
Okay.
So
okay, thank you.
Now we're
thank
moving
you.
Forward. Okay, thank you.
Oh, boy.
So lots of fun. And you know what? Just a good old-fashioned casual family party like that.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
feels good. A lot of people resonate. And I know we've got over 500 people signed up as we speak. And it's only been out there registration since Friday.
And
so,
it's the 20th of August.
Next Tuesday.
And the time is 6 o'clock at night.
Correct, 6 to 8:30.
A lot of things going on, and
yeah,
I almost envy you, but
oh, please do, Juke. But you know what? We've got a tremendous committee behind us. Board members are pitching in on this one. There's just a lot of working together.